podcast for the 2007 season for North Fulton Drama Club. This is our 8th podcast overall. My name is Thomas Strickland, and we have with me...
Nikki Strickland.
Alyssa Jackson.
Our first show will be Much Ado About Nothing in May, and so in order to have a show, we have to have actors, and we'll be inviting come one, come all to our auditions on February 19th. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
February 19th.
Monday, February 19th, next 2 days, so the 20th as well.
President's Day. Come celebrate your favorite president's birthdays by auditioning for a play.
If you want to impress us, come dressed as your favorite president to our auditions.
And or First Lady. Extra points for Lady Virgil.
Very nice. What I wanted to talk about a little bit was, without revealing too much, because I know that's taboo, but how we go about doing auditions, what a person coming to auditions should expect, and a little bit about what we're looking for without saying exactly what we're looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the sort of overarching issue that we look at is whether or not we're going to create a good ensemble, because I don't think that we at all choose to cast any one part at the expense of other parts. Because it doesn't make any sense to do that.
We're also looking for people that may not have had a chance to perform Shakespeare before, maybe someone who hasn't done theater in a long time or has never done theater and is looking for a new experience. I think the most important quality we're looking for, though, is someone who's got people who have an open mind, who are willing to go with our ideas but free to input their own information and work as a group. We're very group-oriented.
It's a very team sport.
Yeah.
Because we're going to meet you halfway. If you come to us with an open mind, we're going to be watching your audition with an open mind as well. We don't precast. We don't have a current roster of ringers that we turn to cast our shows. We do have people that have come back in the two shows we've had. We have people come back. But it's not a matter of we already know where we're going. I know that can be a sore point. We can edit that part out.
I think it's a valid concern, and I don't think it's something we need to edit out. I think that some people, whether that's the, and it's probably not the intention, but I don't pretend to speak for whether or not it is or not, because I don't know these people, but some theaters, people come away with a feeling that only the same people get cast over and over again, and, you know, whether that's the director's intention or not is up for grabs, because there's no way for us to know that, but regardless, that's the way the actor feels, so... I feel like us saying up front that that's not what we're about is better than not saying at all and assuming that people know.
And additionally, we, as much as we really would like to see our auditions flooded with all kinds of people, people of either gender, any race whatsoever, we know from previous experience that we're going to have usually more women than men come to audition. It's for that reason that we tend to select our shows. At least up until this point, we selected our shows based on how flexible the characters in those shows are. What characters can we double cast? What characters can we cross-gender cast? Because we know what we're going to be up against. It's just a fact of community theater. We have managed to have, I believe, with Love Labors, we had an even cast,
mm-hmm,
male
exactly
and female.
Exactly, even.
With Twelfth Night, we also had an even cast. I believe.
It was almost completely even. I can't remember what the ratio was exactly, but it was within one
more,
on either side.
I think we have one more woman than man in that show. Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. And so with Much Ado, as it's written, we don't have an even cast, but we're going to try to see if we can have an even cast.
Because we've got three roles, I think, that we're casting in either. And then after that, it's... I think all up for grabs, but it's, you know, I don't mind. I think it's, we talked about this before, not on a podcast, but in a private conversation, that in some ways doing Shakespeare where you purposely cast typically male roles as female is often a much more interesting way to do it, and it often requires you to sort of take your hat off and put on a different one and learn how to think about it in a different way, which is kind of what we're about, because the one thing that I think sometimes happens to people is they feel that their creativity is sort of circumcised. That's not the right word. Circumscribed. I don't know. It's limited by, you know, it's Shakespeare. I have to do a certain voice and certain things and these characters, you know, all the low-class characters speak in Cockney or, like, whatever, and they feel like they're sort of limited in their choices. And I think that's one thing we try not to do, is have a limited choice.
You can discover incredibly interesting and new things in scripts, and especially in Shakespeare, new motivations and various things when you change gender roles or even change intentions. And I know in other Shakespeare that I've been in, we've changed major roles, and it can completely change the dynamics of a play and make it a lot more interesting and it can bring a whole new light to it.
So why did we pick Much Ado About Nothing for this show?
It's a great show.
It is a great show. I think that for one reason or another, it's a play that I think you've wanted to do.
It's a show that I wanted to return to, having been in the show twice and played the same role both times. It's a show that I think we can do something very interesting with it. I think we can do something that isn't done often with the show, and that's making it a balanced show and accepting the fact that most of the characters are interesting. Almost all the characters are interesting and worth your attention. Far too often shows like this, or shows like Taming of the Shrew, all seem to come down to the actions of a central couple, and everything else seems to be window dressing. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I think we can approach this show just as holistically as we've done with our previous two shows, and to turn this into a true ensemble performance. Do you want to talk any about how we go about setting up our settings, or how do we go about finding our settings for this? Because we don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but...
Well, I know with our previous shows, we've talked about sort of moments of inspiration.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how it happens, is one or two of us will have sort of a brainstorm idea, and it morphs as we go, because obviously there are challenges to every single idea that we've come up with, and you have to really discuss, okay, is this feasible? I know that we had a totally different production concept for Twelfth Night when mm-hmm. we started that mm-hmm. we ended up having to drop, because we realized as we practically discussed it that it is just not, we're not going to be able to pull it off with our limitations.
Yeah, the original concept for Twelfth Night being having some kind of a framing device and making it into a more obvious storytelling situation.
Dream sequence.
Kind of dream sequence, doodly 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 kind of a deal. And
which would have been cool.
Which would have been cool if we could have really done it.
Yeah.
I think what we ended up with, though.
Right. And I don't think it hurts us to start off big like that, because then what we pair back to is at least still interesting.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being, well, I think we'll set it in nebulous Shakespeare time, people will wear nebulous Shakespeare outfits, and then we end up with people wearing poppy outfits that look like they're from no particular time, and everything is just sort of bland.
Well, the interesting thing about Shakespeare is it is one of the few playwrights that is infinitely moldable. I mean, you've got that. Some of the Greek plays, you can also use them to interpret various things. But right. Your Shakespeare, if you're doing just nebulous Shakespeare time, you're kind of dealing with the politics of that day, like the politics of Renaissance whenever, or medieval whenever, whatever you choose to do. And this way, we can tell a whole new story. We can craft the play to tell what we want it to tell. Right. And I think that's something we've thought about really deeply about each of the shows. Like, one of the things in Twelfth Night is there's all these references to India and Indian ideals and ideas, and that was something that called out to us of an interesting way to explore that story. So I think what we've chosen for Much Ado will tie into it will tie in today as well. I think there'll be some interesting resonance that will occur.
So yeah. Who wants to lay odds right now about what kind of weather we're going to be having in May?
Arctic. Yeah. Freezing cold.
Yeah, if it's like it was for any other time, when we did Love's Labors, we're like, oh, Eileen's going to be so hot, she's in this wool suit, but we can't help it, it's just, she has to wear it, there's nothing else for it. She was the only one who was comfortable, everyone else,
30 degrees at night.
Freezing freaking cold. Twelfth Night was like being on the tundra. It was ridiculous.
I think if we establish now...
There were warmer days in November.
Yeah. There were warmer days near to Christmas. Christmas weekend would have been a perfect weekend for Twelfth Night.
You know, Thanksgiving where you can't wear a sweater because it's that hot outside? Yeah.
Not our weather.
Not our weather.
Not our weather.
Even if we said it, we would said if we said that decided to do this show in the middle
in
of July,
it would snow.
There would be, you know, this random bizarre El Nino cold snap that would come through. And yeah, it'd be good.
Children would be stopped in their tracks by ice floes in the community pool. And we would have our actors on stage wearing 50s era bikinis. And that would be what we would be doing.
And they'd be pulling out 8 of those little hand warmers from down their shirts where they put them to try to keep their core warm. They hadn't realized they put 8 down their shirt until they started to undress. And yeah.
Well, just to round it out, if you had one word of advice, Lissa, for our auditioners, what would it be?
Come prepared to show us your best. Don't be afraid to experiment, to play. We like to see that, and well, we can always pull you back. So don't be afraid.
Yes. You know, Nikki?
I think just don't come with any. Don't come with any preconceived notions about what you expect the show to be, because what it has been before is not necessarily, and I would say is definitely not at all, what it's going to be when we do it. Because the RSC does what the RSC does quite well already, and they don't need us running around trying to imitate them. So we're going to be doing it our way. And it'll be fun if you keep an open mind.
And I would say be brave. Be audacious. Bring whatever tricks that you might have, and we want to see them, you know. And if they turn out to be, they might turn out to be incredibly useful in our production. If they're just amusing to us, then we'll all have a laugh.
Oh, don't hide your light under a bushel, because who knows what your talents might be that could be useful.
And be prepared to move.
Be prepared to move.
There might be something fun to do.
Who knows?
I don't know. Maybe I've got ideas.
And that's about it for our podcast this month.
So thank you for listening to the 8th podcast for North Fulton Drama Club. As a side note, we just like to let everyone know that we are doing a presentation at Atlanta PodCamp on March 18th. So do come out and see us.
For more information about PodCamp, you may come to
PodCampAtlanta.com.
PodCampAtlanta.com, that you can see what day we're doing our session and what time we're doing our session. And you can bring us all coffee, because it'll be in the morning.
And for more information about Drama Club, go to northfultondramaclub.org or email us at nfdramaclub@gmail.com.
And that's about it. Thank you, everybody. Everybody can say good night.
Good night.
I tried to get you Thank you.